Okay, time for I've Been Thinking. Ella Henry, you start.
Okay, so the last time I was on the panel was a couple of months ago, and I was just about to go off on sabbatical.
That's right.
And I managed to get about a month and a half. I was looking at the value of Indigenous networking. So I've been doing work with Māori business networks, but as my thinking developed, I actually found that Indigenous networking is bigger than just business networks. And in fact, when I was in Boston, I went to the Native Nations Institute at Harvard. I went to a powwow in Canada to Imaginative, the biggest Indigenous film festival. And the more case studies I did, the more I realised that what Indigenous people create these gatherings, as you call them, for, is as much kinship as social capital, which is networking. And one of the things that's come out of the research, I'm being tentative about it, but I found evidence of what I'm calling spiritual capital. So you've got, we've got social capital, a network is your social capital, but there's also a thing called spiritual capital. And if you've ever been really moved by a haka performance, and I'm not even Scottish, but I've had this, listening to a lone piper in the Highlands, there is a thing that happens to you, which we would call in the Māori world wairuatanga. It's, for me, what is spiritual capital? So part of the gatherings of Indigenous communities around the world fosters what I'm calling tentatively spiritual capital, which I think contributes as much to well-being as social capital does.
Mm. How interesting. And that's a notion that I haven't really heard that much about, spiritual capital.
Well, I just made it up. No, it's brand new. Watch this space.
Okay. Ella Henry TM.
It was expanding on the notion of social capital, yes, which there's a lot of literature about. And I just think that's the word I am currently using to describe what is essentially an amorphous spiritual connection that happens when people gather.
Before we jump to Steve, because what a trip you had. That powwow in Six Nations you talk about, that sounds interesting. Tell us very briefly a bit about that.
I was invited by some people who knew the community, and it was literally a reserve where six different tribal groups were cobbled together as part of, well, in Canada it wasn't a trail of tears like America, but there was definitely reserves. And powwow are not ancient traditional customs. They were just ways that these different tribal groups could interact and share their culture. And so they've become very much a way for people to connect across different tribal groups, to share their dancing, which is predominantly their activity, to engage in enterprise. You can buy the great tribal foods and artworks. But it's really, for me, that was very much about recognising there's a spiritual element to that gathering as well as a commercial and a social one. And it was just a wonderful experience to have.
Gosh, what a joy. What a great trip. Okay, Ella, thank you very much. Steve McCabe, I've Been Thinking.
Well, very quickly, I did a trip myself recently. I went back to England to see my family just recently, and I had a long overnight stopover in Qatar, in Doha. Landed at midnight, flew out at about 8 a.m, and I thought this could be very, very boring just to sit in the airport. So I hopped in an Uber and went into Doha at about 1 in the morning and wandered around the souk and walked around the corniche, and it was lovely. It was great. Very, very hot. It was like 31 degrees in the middle of the night, but that wasn't the problem. What occurred to me afterwards, I was on the phone to my wife and I said, I'd done all this, and it suddenly hit me. This is one of the joys of being a man in this world, is my wife, my daughter, I don't think they would have felt quite as effortlessly comfortable. They wouldn't have just flown and then flowed through these cities thinking, yeah, I just belong here. This is my place. I'm a man. I'm a big white man. I'm a middle-aged, straight, able-bodied white man. I've probably got other privileges I'm not even consciously aware of, but my life is, and he just reminded me, and the women are sitting next to me going, yeah, we know. And I'm not addressing this to the women so much as I'm addressing it to blokes who need to remember this. We have life easy. We've got it made, and I think sometimes we just need to be reminded of this, and that trip really reminded me my life is very, very easy and I should be more grateful for it.
That's an interesting perspective, isn't it, Ellie? What do you make of that? It's because I can.
I agree.
It's just that's one thing that did come up with my wife too, Tabitha, when she would go to a conference overseas and would not perhaps be able to do the things that I could do. Say, for example, Singapore, you know, sort of like. Or Vietnam, not able to go too much beyond the hotel. I didn't feel that she was able to go too much beyond the hotel because of that very nature. But whereas I hop in a cab and go to one of those small markets, something like that.
You should try being a little old woman of colour. Mm. That adds a whole other dimension to international travel.
Right.
And going through some airports, I shall not name them, because I may go back there, can be really interesting insights into the different ways, not only that men and women are treated, but that white and people of colour are treated.
Very interesting. We have a wonderful panel coming for you this afternoon, Thursday afternoon, with Ella Henry and Stephen McCabe. Ellie, thank you very much for that. Lots to come with me, Wallace Chapman, after four.